Long before infamous murder trials like that of O.J. Simpson and Scott Peterson, there was the trial of John Webster. It happened in Cambridge back in 1849. Dr. George Parkman, one of the wealthiest Bostonians at the time, was killed inside Harvard Medical College. The killer turned out to be Webster, a Harvard chemistry professor. As the story goes, Webster killed Parkman because he owed him a lot of money. Now there's a new book about that murder and the subsequent trial, which captured the fervid attention of the public back then and for decades after. Paul Collins is the author of the new book, Blood and Ivy, the 1849 murder that scandalized Harvard. He came into the studio and I asked him about the lasting impact of the Webster trial.
There's a certain aspect of local color and infamy, the idea of that the person behind this case would have been a Harvard professor. But I think there were a couple other aspects that lingered. One was that for then, I think, you know, pretty revolutionary use of forensic evidence. It was the first real attempt in a capital trial in the U.S. to use dental evidence. The other one was what became known as the Webster Charge, which was that the Chief Justice in the case, Lemuel Shaw, gave an explanation of reasonable doubt to the jurors in the case. And that explanation remained kind of the standard until just a few years ago in Massachusetts in terms of the standard instruction for reasonable doubt.
Your book, of course, is about the murder of Dr. Parkman, who was a Boston Brahmin from one of the wealthiest families in the city, Harvard-educated. What kind of person was he?
Parkman had a reputation for being a fairly unforgiving type of personality. So he was known as a great benefactor to Harvard Medical School, which he was an alumnus of. But I think for many people, he was better known as a landlord. Who went around personally collecting rents and was pretty sharp about it.
Was he simply not well-liked?
I don't think he was. He was feared and respected, but liked or loved is not a term that seems to come up much.
Parkman's body was discovered by a janitor at Harvard Medical College, Ephraim Littlefield, who became obsessed with the case, went digging into another professor's room, and eventually became the first to discover the victim's body. What was Littlefield's motive?
There was a very large reward offered by the family. At one point, they were offering $3,000, which, you know, for many Bostonians might have been about what they would earn in maybe 5 years. A number of people, not least Webster himself, charged that Littlefield was motivated by the reward money, perhaps to the point of actually planting the body there. Littlefield himself, though, seems to have been motivated by a bit more than that. He knew that the building was the last place that Parkman had been seen entering. So Littlefield's motives were in some ways very much at the center of the defense of the case, to the point where I think Webster actually actively tried to frame him.
Well, let's talk about the trial of Dr. Webster. You quoted one reporter at the time who said that, quote, Boston and Cambridge were swiftly separating to the anti-Webster and the anti-Littlefield parties. Why was that?
Part of that clearly seems to have been kind of a your classic town and gown type of division. And there were certainly aspects of social class involved, too. I think a number of people around the university couldn't really believe not only that Webster would bring himself to do this, but that his motives would be something as base as a bad debt. Also, a lot of the initial suspicion in the first days of Parkman's disappearance fell on Bostonians, and in particular on immigrants. And a number of the Irish immigrants in the area took particular umbrage at that, particularly when it was discovered that it was a member of the faculty that had done this and not one of them.
Did Webster ever own up to it?
He did eventually. He confessed to the Reverend George Putnam. He always contended that it had not been, he had not planned to murder Parkman, that he had just had a sudden moment of anger and struck Parkman and then panicked over what to do with the body. One thing that really struck me about Webster was that he, almost until the very end, he did deny it. And when he initially went to find a defense attorney, they advised him right off the bat to confess to the crime but not to the motive. They said, we can get you off on a self-defense or an insanity defense, a visitation from God, as they put it, but you need to confess that you killed Parkman. And Webster absolutely refused to do it, and his family wouldn't hear of it. It was going to be all or nothing. He was going to be proven innocent. And right until the very end, he and in particular his family seems to have been convinced that he wouldn't be convicted. And that was a fatal misjudgment.
Paul Collins, author of Blood and Ivy, the 1849 murder that scandalized Harvard. Thanks a lot for coming in. Good to talk to you.
Oh, thank you.